was a good one. He never once lost his temper with me or my sisters, despite having done so on numerous occasions with my mother. I knew their marriage was an abusive one, but my mother never talked about it. To discuss it would have meant she was talking ill of my father, and that's something she never once did. She wanted the relationship I had with him to be free of any strain that stood between the two of them. Because of this, I have the utmost respect for parents who don't involve their children in the dissolution of their relationships. I asked my father about the abuse once. He was very candid about their relationship. He was an alcoholic during the years he was married to my mother, and he was the first to admit he didn't treat her well. In fact, he told me he had two knuckles replaced in his hand because he had hit her so hard they broke against her skull. My father regretted the way he treated my mother his entire life. Mistreating her was the worst mistake he had ever made, and he said he would grow old and die still madly in love with her. I feel that was a very light punishment for what she endured. When I decided I wanted to write this story, I first asked my mother for permission. I told her I wanted to write it for women like her. I also wanted to write it for all the people who didn't quite understand women like her. I was one of those people. The mother I know is not weak. She was not someone I could envision forgiving a man for mistreating her on multiple occasions. But while writing this book and getting into the mindset of Lily, I quickly realized that it's not as black and white as it seems from the outside. On more than one occasion while writing this, I wanted to change the plot line. I didn't want Ryle to be who he was going to be because I had fallen in love with him in those first several chapters, just as Lily had fallen in love with him. Just as my mother fell in love with my father. The first incident between Ryle and Lily in the kitchen is what happened the first time my father ever hit my mother. She was cooking a casserole, and he had been drinking. He pulled the casserole out of the oven without using a potholder. She thought it was funny, and she laughed. The next thing she knew, he had hit her so hard she flew across the kitchen floor. She chose to forgive him for that one incident, because his apology and regret were believable. Or, at least, believable enough that giving him a second chance hurt less than leaving with a broken heart would have. Over time, the incidents that followed were similar to the first. My father would repeatedly show remorse and promise to never do it again. It finally got to a point where she knew his promises were empty, but she was a mother of two daughters by then and had no money to leave. And unlike Lily, my mother didn't have a lot of support. There were no local women's shelters. There was very little government support back then. To leave meant risking not having a roof over our heads, but to her, it was better than the alternative. My father passed away several years ago, when I was 25 years old. He wasn't the best father. He certainly wasn't the best husband. But thanks to my mother, I was able to have a very close relationship with him because she took the necessary steps to break the pattern before it broke us. And it wasn't easy. She left him right before I turned 3 and my older sister turned 5. We lived off beans and macaroni and cheese for 2 solid years. She was a single mother without a college education, raising 2 daughters on her own with virtually no help. But her love for us gave her the strength she needed to take that terrifying step. By no means do I intend for Ryle and Lily's situation to define domestic abuse, nor do I intend for Ryle's character to define the characteristics of most abusers. Every situation is different. Every outcome is different. I chose to fashion Lily and Ryle's story after my mother and father's. I fashioned Ryle after my father in many ways. They are handsome, compassionate, funny, and smart, but with moments of unforgivable behavior. I fashioned Lily after my mother in many ways. They are both caring, intelligent, strong women who simply fell in love with men who didn't deserve to fall in love at all. 2 years after divorcing my father, my mother met my stepfather. He was the epitome of a good husband. The memories I have of them growing up set the bar for the type of marriage I wanted for myself. When I finally did reach the point of marriage, the hardest thing I ever had to do was tell my biological father that he wouldn't be walking me down the aisle, that I was going to ask my stepfather. I felt I had to do this for many reasons. My stepfather stepped up as a husband in ways my father never did. My stepfather stepped up financially in ways my father never did. And my stepfather raised us as if we were his own, while never once denying us a relationship with my biological father. I remember sitting down in my father's living room a month before my wedding. I told him I loved him, but that I was going to be asking my stepfather to walk me down the aisle. I was prepared for his response with every rebuttal I could think of. But the response he gave me was nothing I expected. He nodded his head and said, "Colleen, he raised you. He deserves to give you away at your wedding, and you shouldn't feel guilty about it, because it's the right thing to do." I knew my decision absolutely gutted my father, but he was selfless enough as a father to not only respect my decision, but he wanted me to respect it too. My father sat in the audience at my wedding and watched another man walk me down the aisle. I knew people were wondering why I didn't just have both of them walk me down the aisle, but looking back on it, I realize I made the choice out of respect for my mother. Who I chose to walk me down the aisle wasn't really about my father, and it wasn't even really about my stepfather. It was about her. I wanted the man who treated her how she deserved to be treated to be given the honor of giving away her daughter. In the past, I've always said I write for entertainment purposes only. I don't write to educate, persuade, or inform. This book is different. This was not entertainment for me. It was the most grueling thing I have ever written. At times, I wanted to hit the delete button and take back the way Ryle had treated Lily. I wanted to rewrite the scenes where she forgave him, and I wanted to replace those scenes with a more resilient woman, a character who made all the right decisions at all the right times. But those weren't the characters I was writing. That wasn't the story I was telling. I wanted to write something realistic to the situation my mother was in, a situation a lot of women find themselves in. I wanted to explore the love between Lily and Ryle so that I would feel what my mother felt when she had to make the decision to leave my father, a man she loved with all her heart. I sometimes wonder how different my life would have been if my mother had not made the choice she did. She left someone she loved so that her daughters would never think that kind of relationship was okay. She wasn't rescued by another man, a knight in shining armor. She took the initiative to leave my father on her own, knowing she was about to embark on a completely different kind of struggle, with added stress as a single mother. It was important to me that Lily's character embody this same empowerment. Lily made the ultimate decision to leave Ryle for the sake of their daughter, even though there was a slight possibility that Ryle could have eventually changed for the better. Some risks are never worth taking, especially when those risks have failed you in the past. Before I wrote this book, I had a lot of respect for my mother. Now that I've finished it and was able to explore a tiny fraction of the pain and struggle she went through to get to where she is today, I only have one thing to say to her. I want to be you when I grow up. Resources. If you are a victim of domestic violence or know someone who could use assistance in leaving a dangerous situation, please visit www.thehotline.org. For a list of resources for homeless individuals, please visit www.homelessresourcenetwork.org.
It Ends With Us was written by Colleen Hoover and read by Olivia Song. Editing and post-production by Matt Kartsonis. The associate producer was Louisa Solomon. It Ends With Us was produced by Matt Kartsonis. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. It Ends With Us is available in print from Atria Books. Also by Colleen Hoover from Simon & Schuster Audio, Ugly Love, read by Grace Grant and Deacon Lee with Elizabeth Louise.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.